The full-spectrum light in his office was dimmed. As a Sakaian, Admiral Tarnese Blade could see farther into the infrared than most beings, and he preferred to spare himself the harsh glare that many of the galaxy species needed for illumination. Blade frowned. He knew himself to be one of the Republic's most capable admirals, smart, clever, and deft. Given the proper venue, he could have risen easily to the top of the military's chain of command in short order, become a fleet commander at the least, perhaps even a priority sector high commander. But instead, his superiors had seen fit to shunt him to this maker-forsaken back-rocket planet in the hind end of nowhere to preside over the administration of a lowly Medstar, a medical frigate, fielding Rimsu units charged with patching up clones and collecting an indigenous plant. He feared for the stability of a commonwealth that could make such ill-advised decisions. Blade stood and moved to the large transparasteel viewport. Drongar filled a quarter of the sky below him. Even from the orbit, the planet looked vile and pestilential. Blade thought about Sakai, his homeworld. True, it was mostly tropical as well, with large stretches of jungle and marshes, but not like Drongar. Nemoidia and Sakai together couldn't match Drongar for sheer, fetid, noisome area. Blade had heard it said on occasion that Sakaian were too insular, that they tended to stay in their own world rather than venture out into the galaxy and play with the big kids. He never responded to these charges. He knew that if most of the other sentients voicing the complaint could spend even one day on Sakai, they would understand why few of its children ever wanted to leave. True, he had left, but only because circumstances had forced him to seek his fortune off-world. The Sakaians were a proud and predatory race. Blade's ancestors had been legendary hunters. It was his Monthrial to be no less of a legend than they. Blade stopped reminiscing. He couldn't afford to lose his focus now. A decision had to be made, a decision that could determine the rest of his life's course. But there really was only one choice. If the Republic was unable or unwilling to recognize his abilities, then it was the Republic's loss, not his. He had known all along, after all, that it was up to him to make certain that he came out of this war wiser and richer. Much richer. With sufficient credits, Blade could reclaim his clan's holdings. If Philba the Hutt continued to come through. It was risky. Very risky. Allying with Black Sun was like gambling with a Wookiee. Even when you know he's cheating, sometimes it's best to let him win. But the stakes were too high to walk away from. With the credits they stood to make, he could become a landed person, perhaps even enter politics. He closed his eyes, picturing it. The wealthy senator from Sakai, with his own palatial spire on Coruscant, affecting the lives of trillions with his every command. Blade could certainly get used to such a lifestyle. Den Durr swaggered into the cantina. It wasn't much of a swagger, but after all, he was a Sullustan, waist high to and only half the weight of most of the patrons within. He ascended the ramp, designed for shorter and legless species, to the bar, gaining enough height to put him on eye level with the tender, whom he signaled with a wave. The tender, a phlegmatic Ortolan, came over. Den said, "Bantha Blaster," and the tender promptly began pouring liquids into a glass, building a swirly orange and blue concoction. In a matter of moments, the Ortolan handed the drink to Den. "On the tab," the tender said. Den nodded. He took a long, slow sip. He had enough swallows to blunt the harsh edges of the lights, then looked around. First thing a good reporter did upon spacing to a new planet was find the local watering holes. Lightning flickered outside, leaving in his eyes a momentary faint blue afterglow to everything. Thunder boomed almost simultaneously, hurting his ears even with the dampeners. In the momentary ringing silence that followed, heralding drops of the storm pattered on the foam-cast roof. Within seconds, the sky opened up and the drumming of the rain became a constant barrage. A blast of hot, wet wind swirled over him as the door seal parted. Den knew, without even turning around, who had entered. He could tell by the smell of damp hut that suddenly filled the room. The hut shook himself, ignoring the annoyed looks and exclamations the spray of water brought from nearby patrons, and slithered toward the bar. He came to a stop on the ground level next to Den. Den drained the last of his drink and took a moment to compose himself before looking at the hut.
"Felba," he said, "how's it flopping?"
The hut didn't seem surprised to see him here. No doubt he'd been notified of the arrival of the press.
"Durr. Why aren't you out somewhere making up more lies about honest working folk?"
Den smiled.
"I can make them up just as well in a dry, well, relatively dry cantina."
The tender approached.
"Doba boga noga,"
Filba growled in Huttese, holding up two fingers. The tender nodded and drew two mugs of something yellow and fizzy, which he set in front of the hut. Filba knocked them both back, barely taking a breath between them.
"Not one to savor your drink, I see," Den said.
"You have to drink Hutti's ale fast. Otherwise, it eats through the mug."
Den nodded in sage comprehension and turned back to his drink. Before he could give it the attention it deserved, however, he noticed a group sitting at a table a couple of meters away. There were four, two males and two females. One of the males was a Zabrak. The rest were humans. Den blinked. One of the human females was wearing the robes and trappings of a Jedi. He felt his pulse quicken a bit as he thought about the possible implications of her being here on Drongar. Something to do with the Boda, perhaps? Or was it something more secretive, more clandestine? His reporter's curiosity could not be denied. Den picked up his drink and started toward the table. After all, the public needed to know. Joss didn't recognize the Celestin, but that wasn't surprising. Rimsu 7 wasn't exactly one of the Coruscant spaceports, but a small amount of traffic did cycle through. When the Celestin strolled over with a drink in one hand and a friendly expression, the four made room for another chair. He introduced himself, adding that he was a string reporter for the Galactic Wave, one of the smaller Holonews services.
"Been asked to come over to Holonet several times, but they're too mainstream, too party line for me. I like working on the edge."
"Do you disagree with the Republic's policies toward Dooku and his separatists?" Barriss Offee asked. Durr's huge eyes appraised her for a few seconds.
"Kind of unusual to see a Jedi Knight this far out."
"I'm not a Jedi Knight as of yet. Until I complete my training, my title is still Padawan," Barriss said.
"And you haven't answered my question." "You're right, I haven't."
Durr looked steadily into the Jedi's eyes.
"Let's just say I disapprove of some of Dooku's methods."
The silence that followed threatened to become tension. Zan said quickly,
"We just offered to give our new healer the 5 Desecred tour. Care to join us?"
Durr drained his drink.
"Wouldn't miss it,"